The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Friday, hey, it's the bonus show. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing really good, but we have to start with this audio cut, all right? Okay. First, start with this audio cut from FBI Director Christopher Wray, because this is a very important notice, and we have gotten additional details on this just moments away. But first, what the FBI director had to say yesterday following the Inspector General's report.
We're going to make sure that every FBI employee understands the lessons of this report. Because change starts at the top, starts with me, we're going to require all of our senior executives from all around the world to convene for in-depth training, specifically focused on learning the lessons that we should learn from this report.
So apparently the FBI, it was just announced, will be closing the afternoon of July 5th.
Yes.
Just like Starbucks did right. The afternoon after Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend, and they will have bias training.
Ah, very, very conscious bias, not unconscious or subconscious.
Yes, this is not unconscious.
This is
right.
Very conscious bias.
I know, we're making that up. Okay, yeah. They're not going to have a meeting on July 5th. That
no, it's going to be July 8th.
Well, when I thought about it, I went, July 5th is perfect because July 5th would be the two-year anniversary of James Comey announcing his decision on the Hillary Clinton investigation.
And like Starbucks, it would be a day after a major holiday.
Yes. So I wanted to tie it all together. But good to have you back, especially on this day.
Yeah, what a day, huh?
Yeah.
IG report.
Is there anything to talk about? Okay,
right. I don't know that there's anything else to talk about. But it's what a lot of us had suspected. You know, Kimberly Strassel was writing on her Twitter account several hours ago at the end of the business day on Thursday, you know, saying, look, anyone who tells you that the IG report found no bias is flat out false. Basically, what the IG is saying here is that there was no documented evidence of political bias being in play, which means, and I'm paraphrasing her tweets here, there could have been who knows how many conversations between Strzok and Page or anyone else or other communications. What they're saying is they didn't find evidence. We found evidence. There's clear evidence that the IG found on bias.
To me, what I got from the report was that in Comey's conclusions, from his point of view, there was no bias.
Right, yeah.
That it was Comey and his... Obviously, there's bias, and I did see... Look, first, one of the problems, and you and I talked about this in our pre-show meeting, this is just one piece of the puzzle.
Right,
everybody looks at a report like this as if, oh, this is the final report.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's not.
This is all the information that we're going to get. No, in fact, remember, and Alan Dershowitz brought this up yesterday, remember, this isn't the first draft.
No.
Remember, the Inspector General did his first draft and had to throw it by the Department of Justice and FBI to make sure that there were no top secrets given out.
Right.
And so who knows what might have been redacted. And as he said, Congress and the American people should see the first draft from the Inspector General unedited.
Yeah. Because we need to see if the report was grappling and evolving.
But when you look at this, and we've always said, it's very tough to figure out the motivation of a James Comey. What we have always said from the very beginning, when he first 2 years ago, July 5th, that it didn't make investigative sense. The things that he was saying was just odd. It wasn't an investigator's mind.
Right, right.
One of the problems with throwing the bias claim at James Comey, irrespective of who he might have personally wanted to win, was his actions of first exonerating Hillary Clinton, and then right before the election, you know, going back and reopening it where Hillary Clinton believes that's why she lost the election, and many other Clinton supporters do too. And you wonder yourself, okay, did he himself recognize his bias on July 5th and decide to change it? Did he view that the heat was coming down, that he could be accused of political bias and then decided to do this? Who, at the very end, who knows? As we have said, he didn't follow, and this is what the Inspector General has said, he didn't follow the normal protocol of an investigator, which has been, if you've been listening to Red Eye Radio for any significant amount of time, this wasn't a normal investigation.
Right.
It wasn't how an investigation is normally done, and that's why we found it so odd. But we use that term many times to describe James Comey, whether it was in his testimony before Congress, whether it was on that July 5th day, whether it was his book tour, whether it was things that was in his book. We constantly said he doesn't seem to think like a normal investigator.
Right, right.
But
there were things, way too many things in all of those events that you just pointed out that didn't add up, but in a bizarre kind of way. Not like it was... there was a series of events as a part of an investigation or whatever it may have been during his time as FBI director that had holes in it. It was that his critical thinking seemed to be lacking completely. He wasn't thinking and talking like an investigator. That's right. What really was, he wasn't talking like a prosecutor. It was just really odd. The points that he made. And we said this during the testimony or after the testimony both times on Capitol Hill that it was odd. Now, I questioned his ability at that time. Here's the actual tweet from Kimberly Strassel, Wall Street Journal, on Thursday evening. Don't believe anyone who claims Horowitz didn't find bias. He very carefully says that he found no documentary evidence that bias produced specific investigatory decisions. That's different.
Right.
It means, in another tweet, it means that he didn't catch anyone doing anything so dumb as writing down that they took a specific step to aid a candidate. That's very, very important, as she mentions, and very different. Those, it's because if you're going to act in a way that is politically motivated with that kind of authority, the last thing you would do is make notes and send a bunch of emails that have very clear directives on them or descriptions on them or whatever it might be. You're not going to put yourself in that situation ever. And they Strzok knows that, Page knows that. Anybody else who may have been biased at the FBI clearly knows that.
Well, it was funny because we got a discussion on social media yesterday. No political bias. It's like, well, no, it was just hate. Bias. They hated Trump.
Yeah.
And as I saw a headline of some video from Mark Levin, and said, well, no pro-Trump text, no anti-Hillary text,
right?
No pro-Trump FBI officials, no anti-Hillary Clinton officials out there. Of course, there was massive political bias within the FBI.
Right.
You can go through all the different texts. And so you have to get to the actual, specifics of what was done. But it was actually a pretty damning report on the FBI and this investigation. There are five investigators now that they, the Inspector General said there should be more investigations to get down to, what was their motivation on it. There were more than just Strzok and Page, even though Strzok, if you think about it, was, a key player in both the Russia investigation and also the Hillary Clinton investigation. He was very extremely top high level in both of those. And of course, his political bias is extremely well known. So if you're trying to say that everybody had a political bias and went to Comey, but we don't have any evidence that when Comey made his final conclusion, that his conclusion was based on him being biased, right, even though all the information that he got from everybody below him was all based on political bias.
Right.
His decision, even though all the information he got was politically biased, may not have been, you know, he could not find any documentary evidence of being politically biased.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, and that's the thing, is
we're
that
parsing
the,
words.
They didn't write it down. That's basically what the IG report. If they were acting in a biased way, they didn't write it down. Well, if you're at that level at the FBI, you're not about to leave a trail.
Right. They showed their bias, but they didn't. But they didn't say, for example, I am not going to charge Hillary Clinton because I support her for president,
right,
and I hate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So since they didn't find that, then the conclusion, there was no documented evidence that the conclusions were based on political bias.
Right.
Even though everybody in the investigation clearly made it known that they had the either political bias or hatred towards the president.
Well, we're going to stop him. We're going to stop him, Strzok tells Page via text message. We're going to stop. What does that mean? You're going to stop him. Explain that. How? What does that mean? So if there's no bias, again, go back as you just pointed out, and Mark Levin pointed out, there was no anti-Hillary text messages. There was no pro-Trump text messages. It's not like there was a debate going on with these people.
No pro-Trump FBI officials, no
right,
anti-Hillary Clinton officials. It
right,
was obvious where everybody stood in this. I think the most important thing that first thing I said was, if I'm the president's attorneys, I'm saying you don't need to testify.
Right.
Mueller can't come to you anymore
no,
and say,
no,
well, I need to talk about what you were thinking when you fired Comey.
No, you
sorry,
don't.
The inspector general's covered that. He
yep,
was completely and totally incompetent.
Yeah.
There you have it. I agreed with the inspector general. I don't need to testify because, number one, there was no obstruction of justice. Number two, the inspector general shows that there couldn't even been a possibility of obstruction of justice, even if I didn't have the authority, the constitutional authority to fire to fire him. There was no obstruction of justice because he obviously was not following investigative protocol, and I need that from anybody who's going to work for me in the FBI.
Yeah.
End of story.
Right.
So it really destroyed that narrative, and that really hasn't been talked about a lot, but I thought that was the first thing that came to my mind is, that's dead.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. In fact, on the bigger level, I don't know where the Mueller thing goes now. Because the question becomes, again, what did the left have on Trump? What did Mueller have on Trump? More specifically, where would this investigation have gone? Well, the only thing that we know in terms of the questions that might have been asked during an interview with the president, what the target could have been, the event could have been, is the firing of Comey, obstruction. Because there is no evidence here that the president as a candidate was involved with any Russians in trying to rig an election.
Right.
None. So with all the leaks that came out, it started to point to what? Obstruction. And the left grabbed, you know, the Democrats and their rank and file grabbed onto the whole obstruction thing. Well, you can't fire Comey. He wanted to end the investigation. No, well, that's done now.
Yeah, it's done because you can sit there and say, look, the inspector general laid out how he did not follow the FBI protocol and what is required of any top investigator in the FBI, especially the head of the FBI. And yeah, so when I saw that he would not be honest with the Russia investigation, he wasn't being honest. He wasn't telling the American public I wasn't a target of the investigation. I looked at what he did in the Hillary Clinton investigation, and boom, he was not competent. That's what I really, what I got out of it was it really destroyed that Mueller narrative that, well, was Trump thinking obstruction of justice?
Right. What were you, because that was one of the leaked questions.
Right. What
were you thinking in January? What were you thinking when you fired? And what were you thinking when it was rumored that you were going to fire the special investigator? This idea of Mueller turning into the thought police is about as absurd as anything I've heard in the last 5 minutes.
If you want to get in, we've got lines open. A lot of discussion, a lot of audio cuts coming up because it's a very, very long report. And actually a lot came out of this report that we will cover throughout the show. Plus your calls and comments, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. It seemed like Democrats, the only thing that they could really come up with, well, there's no political bias in the actual conclusions, from Comey. That seemed to be the only thing, even though, as we all know, that beneath him, everything was political bias, pro-Hillary and anti-Trump.
Right.
And again, trying to figure out the exact motivation of a Comey who we have said you would have to get to the point of, and the inspector general, from what I can see, and I can speed read, but I only get about 50 to 60% of it. I really can. I can scan really good.
Oh, I can speed read, but my comprehension plummets.
And so it really won't be Monday and Tuesday till I'm very comfortable at 100%. Stating exactly what, has come out of this after I get to, read it fully over the weekend and digest it and go back and look at all the different, references that he has in it, because it is a pretty long document here. But with Comey, we've always had that trouble of understanding from an investigator's mind where he is coming from. Because when he said no reasonable prosecutor, when you could identify what the specific crime was, and Trey Gowdy talks about that here coming up in a little bit, the Espionage Act, trying to avoid the Freedom of Information Act, putting the server in their, in her house itself was the intent. And we know what the laws were that were broken. And we know that people who aren't the Secretary of State end up in jail if they do things like that. So that never made sense. But he didn't go into the investigative morality of whether it was right or wrong in the decision. What he talked about was the normal protocol of an FBI director not being followed. Getting to the motivation of Comey is pretty tough. It's not for Peter Strzok or Lisa Page. That's really easy to figure that out.
Right. Yeah.
And some of the other agents.
Right.
But with Comey, what drives him to his totally, completely bizarre and odd investigative behavior and the explanations of it, I don't know if anybody can get inside of his mind to figure out what his exact motivation was.
Right. Well, it's impossible. There's no way to figure it out. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
After some heavy rain moved through North Dakota along I-94, we'll continue to see those showers move eastward throughout the day today, mainly around Duluth on I-35 and over to Marquette throughout the day on I-28. We do have some relief in sight for the south, where widespread excessive heat and fire weather conditions have been persisting across the desert southwest. Now, that system known as Bud will be moving onshore, and we talk about relief, but it could come as a little too much, as the potential for flash flooding exists. Tomorrow, the center of the storm will be near the southern Baja Peninsula of Mexico's Baja Sur near La Paz. Most of the nation's coastal areas will be dry today, with the exception of the New Orleans area and the coastal Carolinas. Overall, the best of the weekend beach days will be Saturday. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
trying to save society. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RUD-EYE. I want to go to, this is from Fox News, and a special report with Brett Baer and Trey Gowdy, House Oversight Committee Chairman on special report, reacting to the Inspector General's report, along with House Judiciary Committee member Bob Goodlatte on his take also. This from yesterday afternoon.
A broad overview, what strikes you about this report, what's hit you when you look at the 568 pages?
Just what a dark day it is for the FBI and the DOJ, two institutions our country desperately needs. We desperately have to be able to have confidence in them. And this level of bias and animus, not only did he want to stop the Trump campaign, he wanted to stop the Trump presidency. This
You're
is an FBI.
Peter Strzok,
the FBI agent who was on Hillary Clinton's investigation and arguably the lead Russia investigator, not only wanted to stop his campaign, but once he won, got on the Mueller probe because he wanted to impeach him. That is a level of animus and bias that everyone should reject. And Chris Wray, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Chris, there are consequences. The consequences are that your fellow citizens question whether or not they can have confidence in the world's premier law enforcement agency. And that's coming from somebody who's defended him a lot throughout his career. This was a bitterly disappointing report.
John, good luck.
Well, first of all, this report shows that there was special treatment given to Hillary Clinton in the investigation of her case. There is not standard procedures followed in investigating her, and there was special treatment given. There's no doubt that this was not proper process, and the report shows time and time again how Director Comey and others made mistakes, errors in judgment, or deliberate. People can draw their own conclusions, but it was improperly handled. And as Trey said, you then put that up against how the investigation has been handled into the so-called Trump-Russia collusion, and you have a contrast that is shocking in terms of how they handled one presidential campaign compared to another. It's got to be investigated further. Changes have got to be made. I will compliment Director Wray on some of the personnel changes that have been made. I will compliment him on saying that there are sobering lessons learned from this. We need to see changes made so in 2020 we don't see another presidential campaign handled like this.
So when you hear Republicans and people who've been looking into this and say this 568 pages is there's just not a lot there, or that Horowitz kind of left something on the table, how do you respond to that?
This is a very thorough investigation. He takes minutia and examines each piece carefully, draws his conclusions, and I commend him. I think it's a well-done report. Now, I never expected he would find every single thing, as some critics have said, but he did find all kinds of irregularities here. When you couple that with the struck page text, including this new one that has come out recently, where part of it was redacted, by the way. We only recently learned the whole sentence about
how
he's going to stop Donald Trump from being president of the United States. That is improper for the FBI. And quite frankly, this is the world's premier law enforcement organization, and it's besmirching the reputation of tens of thousands of brave men and women who keep us safe, prevent terrorist attacks, fight crime every single day, and a handful of people in the hierarchy of the organization have caused serious damage.
All right, let's put up the August 8th, 2016. That is the one where Page says Trump's never going to be president, right, and struck text back. That part was redacted in the documents you received. No, he's not. We'll stop it. Here's another part that we believe in November 22nd, 2016, FBI Attorney 1. Is it making you rethink your commitment to the Trump administration? We think that's Lisa Page. Attorney 2, hell no, viva la resistance. And we believe that's Peter Strzok. Let me play this soundbite, Congressman Gowdy, from Jim Comey in his interview here in Special Report. I asked about these struck page texts and if he knew now what he knew then, what he would do.
I'd have removed both of them from any contact with significant investigations.
So shouldn't there work
including,
from-
including those involving anybody connected to President Trump, but beyond that.
Because so it's just such poor judgment. Should their work product then be questioned?
Sure, it's a reasonable question to ask.
Okay, so
they
Peter
were bad-mouthing
Strzok,
everybody, including the candidate Trump.
So Peter Strzok interviews Hillary Clinton, deals with the bleach bit and the server and Cheryl Mills, all of that, interviews Michael Flynn, and is integral in this whole case.
But he's one of many other people involved in all the things you just ticked off. When I saw the text, I was deeply disappointed in them, but I never saw any bias.
Any bias?
Well, he's not reading the same text I'm reading. I mean, Peter Strzok said that the vote should be 100 million to zero. He can't think of a single solitary American that should vote for Donald Trump to be president. He said he'll stop it as a candidate. He talked about impeachment once he won. Actually, Director Comey unwittingly just proved the point of the question you asked him on follow-up. Would you have kept him on the investigation had you known what you know now? And he said no. Okay, why not? Because bias is that insidious, that is that pervasive. It colors your ability to do what we need the FBI to do, which is to be fair and fact-centric. So, of course, you're going to fire him the day you learn. In my head, I go back, when did you start working on the case? That's when you should have been fired. So whatever he did on either of these investigations, Brett, it has to be viewed through the prism that he can't think of a single solitary person that should vote for this man to be president.
So Strzok's attorney says this is taken out of context. It didn't affect his decisions. Some people say what happens in the context of those texts? Did they know something about the Russia information and that's what they're referring to? Do you think that this changes at all in context or in a vacuum? It's just damning.
It changes a lot going forward because I don't know how my fellow citizens are going to be able to have confidence. I mean, Russia did something to our country in 2016. It was serious. It deserved to be investigated. It deserved to be investigated by a fair FBI agent who was not talking about impeaching the person that he was investigating. His lawyer is just wrong. That bias did impact something.
Well, and it's that answer from Comey was bizarre. You know, trying to make the point that Strzok, you know, basically didn't like everyone or didn't like anyone. There's no email about anti-Hillary. There's no email about she shouldn't be president. There's no email that if she wins, and by the way, remember, before the election, everyone on the left thought she was going to win. So there's none of that there. It's very clear. And the bias, the whole Comey, well, no, I wouldn't have, knowing what you know now. Well, they still haven't. Strzok is still employed at the FBI. He still works at the FBI. Why? Why is that the case? If not breaking the law, most definitely crossing the ethical line. I don't know how many times here. How many times does that have to be proven? He's one of the first that should have been fired. Management also, and by the way, the whole thing, Comey, I didn't know what was going on. Had I known, is bogus too. Because you want us to believe that you were working to protect the agency and you didn't know what was going on right under your nose?
Well, let's put it this way. No matter where you work, whatever your workplace is, you sort of eventually learn the biases of the people that you work with.
Especially at that level. Strzok didn't work in the mailroom. So let's be very clear about who Strzok was, how he likely talked openly about how he felt, and James Comey knew it. I'm convinced of that.
Strzok, McCabe, Lisa Page, their meetings together, the text from Page and Strzok to each other about their meetings with Andy McCabe, all immediately under Comey, and yet he never saw anything close to a bias. Is, you know, again, that's that gets back to the fact that, as I said yesterday, were they all just stupid?
Well,
because that's what we're being told, that everybody involved in this is just completely incompetent and stupid, but there was no animus, no bias, no irregularities. They were just all stupid.
Right.
And You know, and Comey just is stupid. And
that's what. And by the way, that's what Colbert was saying on his show.
Yes, Colbert. Yes,
in response, because this is what the left wants you to believe. Oh, no. The spy in the campaign, that wasn't about Trump. A few days later, it was about Trump again. And it wasn't, oh, no. Comey, he just didn't know. He was just stupid.
Well, and I mentioned, yeah, so the FBI director is stupid. Well, that's the only way that you could sit there when you're talking to Congress about whether Hillary knows what C
right.
on a classified email, whether she has the capability of understanding what that means and remember his answer.
Yeah. Right. So if he
had the capability of understanding it, well, that was really so. Everybody across the board was just an idiot, from the Secretary of State to the FBI director. Everybody was just stupid.
Right. And which is the answer when you know the heat is on at that level. Play stupid, and they don't do that very well. They're incompetent across the board. This and beyond that. You can't tell me that they weren't aware. When Comey tells you, how many times did he say, I'm working to protect the agents, the integrity of the agency and the agents that are out there on the ground every day?
And he's the first
and you to didn't
leak.
And you didn't even know?
Right.
You were the one that you took it to your friend the moment you got fired to make sure it leaked to the media. That's protecting the agency. And then some of your top people there at the agency were clearly biased, and you didn't know? This is none of this. None of this adds up.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. I just want to read a couple of sentences from Sarah Carter's column. Sarah Carter was one of the investigative reporters that broke the story. Was it a little over a year ago on the FISA court rebuking the Obama administration for not following the rules and regulations for FISA warrants? And she wrote this about just a part of the Inspector General's report. One of the most damning pieces of evidence was an ever-seen-before text message from embattled FBI Special Agent Peter Strzok to former FBI Attorney Lisa Page, where he suggests that he will not allow Trump to become president. In an August 8th text message of 2016, Page questions whether Trump will become president, saying Trump's never going to become president, right? Right. Strzok responds, no, he won't. We'll stop it. The Inspector General did not have confidence that Strzok's decision to prioritize the Russia investigation over following up on new evidence in the Clinton case was free from bias. Strzok was assigned to the mid-year investigation, a reference to Clinton's use of a private server, in August of 2015. He was also responsible for supervising the investigation on a daily basis. Remember, Strzok, according to the Inspector General, was responsible for supervising the Hillary Clinton investigation on a daily basis. According to the report, Page was named counsel to then-Deputy Director Andrew McCabe in February of 2016 and served as his liaison to the Hillary investigative team from February 2016 forward, according to Horowitz, the Inspector General. Both Page and Strzok were also involved in the FBI's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. And in July 2016, Strzok was assigned to lead the Russia investigation, according to Horowitz. A recently retired FBI agent who spoke to the reporter on condition of anonymity due to the current nature of their work said that when Comey made the announcement 4 days after Lynch essentially recused herself from the investigation, which she technically did not, following the tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton, he broke 108 years of FBI protocols and regulations. And he told Sarah Carter, he said, if any other FBI agent did that, what Comey did, and not refer the case to the Department of Justice to make the decision, that agent would be fired from their job and likely be charged with obstruction of justice. He noticed in Hort's report, he stated Strzok's texts and actions, quote, not only indicative of a biased state of mind, but even more seriously implies a willingness to take official action to impact the presidential candidate's electoral prospects, end of quote, from the report. Wow.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Thanks for being here. Hi.
It's a bonus show.
Yes. All right. Devin Nunes not happy.
No, I would say he's probably not happy.
He was on with Laura Ingraham, and basically she asked him, so what are you thinking? All right. Here's what Devin Nunes had to say.
The first thing I can think of is there was information that we got today at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, that actually Chairman Gowdy had to call and tell me what it was, text messages that we had been asking for since late last year. Now, these are text messages that clearly were pertinent to our investigation into FISA abuse and the Russia investigation, whether or not there was collusion. These are emails or text messages that somebody held from us. So every day that goes by, there is a new example of obstruction of a congressional investigation.
So I want to.
There you go.
Yeah.
I found that fascinating. And like we, you know, you and I have talked about this on the air and off air for a long time. This is just another piece of the puzzle.
Right.
And it's almost as if the media looks at this and, okay, that's the be all end all. Well, No, not at all. This is just another small piece of the puzzle being put together, and it will be interesting and fascinating to see Michael Horowitz in front of Congress next week, especially when it comes to the whole political bias comments, because, again, he's parsing it very closely. Kimberly Strassel talked about it in the Wall Street Journal. We talked about the fact that it seems what he's saying is, well, there was, because his evidence shows it. He can't run away from it. The political bias was all through the FBI, without question.
Right.
It only ran in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
But when Comey made the decision, there's no documented evidence where he basically said, I love Hillary, I want Hillary to win, and therefore I'm exonerating Hillary.
And here's what I'm going to do about it.
Right.
I plan to do the following.
I plan to not charge her because I wish for her to win the presidency.
Right.
He didn't say that the people in the investigation, even supervising the investigation, Peter Strzok, wasn't completely biased towards Hillary Clinton. What he said was, even though all the top people that reported to Comey and supervised the Hillary investigation, even though they were incredibly politically biased, that when Comey made the decision, there was no documentation that his political bias was the reason for what he did. So you got to be really careful when, you know, when you've got, you know, when you pay attention to what's going on in the media. No political bias in the investigation. Not what he said.
No.
You have to parse the words and get to the absolute specifics of what the inspector general said. But bias, yeah, you see it all over the place, and it only goes in one direction. And as the inspector general notes, the person, Peter Strzok, who was, as the inspector general put in his report, leading, supervising the Daily Hillary investigation, had a willingness, through the text message that he sent, seemed to be a willingness in order to obstruct the election process. Wow.
Yeah. It's very telling, but it's, you're not going to find documented evidence of it's remember the conversation about the between Comey and Gowdy about the proving intent, how you prove intent.
Right.
There were no one at the FBI was about to. I don't expect that anyone in their right mind, no reasonable FBI agent, would ever write down the number. Okay, here's our plan, guys. Here's a memo outlining what we plan to do to bring Trump down. No. What you know was, and because if you were entertaining the thought that Mueller could talk to Trump about what was in his mind when he fired Comey, then you darn sure can take from the text messages and this IG report and know what was in the mindset and the culture at the FBI at the top. Did they find evidence that Comey specifically was intent on using any political bias? We actually don't know what in the world was going on in Comey's mind. We can't tell you what's going on in his mind today. Here's what we know. Is that, and this is what you and I had been saying leading up to the release of this report. The one thing, because it was going to be focused on the email investigation and the events leading up to the 2016 election, but the one thing that we might be able to find from it is the culture at the FBI, what it was under the direction of James Comey. Because he's either lying that he didn't know this was going on, or he's grossly incompetent.
Right.
Now, I think he also could be grossly incompetent and still be lying. Because just knowing about something doesn't qualify you for anything.
Yeah, and when we have covered Comey, we have covered Comey from the point of view that it doesn't seem like he has an investigative mind. It's just, it's odd out, you know, and we said this from the very,
it was not
very
methodical at all.
The beginning. It wasn't the normal methodical investigator that I think the public would expect. We know, and it's obvious to see the bias in Strzok and Page because of what they actually said in their own words that they're not denying.
No.
Or they can't deny it because it was them. And when you look at Andrew McCabe, it's because, you know, we know that his wife and what her politics are, and also the fact of, you know, we know the lies that he has been accused of Mr. McCabe. And so we know, and the important thing with Peter Strzok, and this is why it's so important, remember, he led the Russian investigation, and as Horowitz said, he was supervising the day-to-day Hillary investigation, supervising it.
Right.
He was the top guy.
Yeah.
The top guy that was doing the investigating actually was not James Comey. It was Peter Strzok. He was the one that had the huge political bias. He is the one, because of the investigation, took it to Comey, correct? Because Comey wasn't doing the day-to-day investigation.
In fact, he said that multiple times on Capitol Hill.
Right.
Comey said it.
It was Peter Strzok doing it. He's the one where the political bias is unquestionable. And the only point that the inspector general said was in Comey's conclusions,
right,
there was no documentation of political bias where, again, Comey said, in an email, I am exonerating Hillary and will not be charging her because I prefer over her over Donald Trump for the presidency. That's what that meant, as Kimberly Strassel pointed out in the Wall Street Journal. That's what it meant. There was no documentation of political bias, in essence, from the FBI's conclusions, which were the conclusions were Comey's conclusions. His is the only conclusion that mattered.
By the way, since then, he's told us that his wife and his children are strong Hillary supporters.
Right. So, you know, so that's where you are. But we have always thought, and we've stated from the very beginning, because it's extremely odd, everything that happened now. You can look at it, and with the report out now, and it may add to it, that, you know, McCabe knew, and this is where the bias comes in from the FBI, the political bias. McCabe knew what was on Wiener's email and held it for a month.
Right.
And the question is, again, did he do that because of political bias? And when Comey found out, Comey panicked, knowing that this would look terrible because it would eventually come out, and therefore he felt forced to announce that the Hillary investigation was back open again because it would destroy his legacy in the FBI if that had come out, that they had held on to it.
Yeah.
So, and that's the whole, Wall Street Journal pointed out, it seems like the only thing that mattered to Comey was his personal opinions on everything, that he should lead it more, that it seems like his opinions came from the arrogance that I know better than everybody else, that it didn't come from an investigative mind purely. It came from the arrogance that I can control all of this. They called it quite Hoover-like.
Yeah, right. Well, and
J. Edgar Hoover, not Herbert Hoover.
Right. When you stand back and look at all of this, there were... It was a damning report.
Yes, very damning.
But those of us who have been following it, I don't know that we learned anything new about the culture of the FBI, but it was good to get it in this form because it was confirmation of what was going on there at the top during this entire thing. What was going on? What was the culture under James Comey?
Breaking news, though. We have to stop with this discussion. There's new breaking news. Bill Clinton offended by criticisms over tarmac meeting with ex-Attorney General Lynch.
Yeah, Bill Clinton is offended.
Bill Clinton is offended. Stop the presses.
Yes, everyone apologize to Bill Clinton. We think ladies should go first because he's offended by something. Let me repeat that. To repeat our breaking story, Bill Clinton is offended.
That's just
rich.
I think it's time to get to some of your calls and comments. What do you think?
I think.
Yeah, okay. If you'd like to get in, we do have a line open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
When it comes to proper tire care and maintenance, what can you do to improve fuel economy? Jason Evans is Director of Store Operations for GCR Tires and Service, and he tells us.
Fuel economy is certainly something on the top of everybody's mind. So I think the industry in general understands, beginning to understand the importance of things like air pressure. But just to throw an idea out there that maybe not all our listeners hear all the time, is check your tread depths. Check your tread depths, particularly on dual wheel positions where tires are bolted together and essentially forced to rotate down the road at the same speed, because for $2 in your local truck stop, you can find a tread depth gauge. Anything beyond 1/8 of an inch difference, or commonly referred to as 4/32 in the tire industry, between dual positions can really add to rolling resistance. Not only does it add to rolling resistance, it tears up your tires faster, and in a lot of cases, it's a similar condition in terms of a fuel economy as having maybe a brake dragging. That may be a tidbit out there for the listeners to really key in on, because mismatched tread depths on duals can really add to rolling resistance.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara. Did you keep that quote that you just read to me? Because I read part of that quote, not the entire thing.
Right.
And I think what you just read to me puts it more in context. So if you would just please read what you just read to me during the
break. From the IG report. In assessing the decision to prioritize the Russian investigation over following up on the mid-year-related investigative lead discovered on the Wiener laptop, we were particularly concerned about text messages sent by Strzok and Page that potentially indicated or created the appearance that investigative decisions they made were impacted by bias or improper considerations. Most of the text messages raising such questions pertain to the Russia investigation, and the implication in some of these text messages, particularly Strzok's August 8th text message, will stop candidate Trump from being elected, was that Strzok might be willing to take official action to impact a presidential candidate's electoral prospects. Under these circumstances, we did not have confidence that Strzok's decision to prioritize the Russia investigation over following up on the mid-year-related investigative lead discovered on the Wiener laptop was free from bias.
Right. So the investigation was full of bias. What he is stating is technically, as Kimberly Strassel pointed out of the Wall Street Journal, that technically there is no documentary evidence that the conclusions by Comey were politically biased, which means, again, Comey didn't come out and say, I'm exonerating Hillary Clinton, I'm not going to charge her because I believe that she is the best candidate to be president and I hate Donald Trump.
In fact, that's the next sentence, the next paragraph starts with, we searched for evidence that the Wiener laptop was deliberately placed on the back burner by others in the FBI to protect Clinton, but found no evidence in emails, text messages, instant messages, or documents that suggested an improper purpose. There was nothing in writing.
Right.
You're not going to put that in writing. There are many things that on a daily basis in offices and communications you wouldn't put in writing.
But the interesting point is he does have the bias in writing from Strzok.
Well, he has the bias. What he's saying is he doesn't have the documentation here that bias was put into action. That's exactly what he said.
In another footnote, the Department of Justice a watchdog, the Inspector General, notes that FBI analyst and prosecutor too told us that former President Barack Obama was one of the 13 individuals with whom Clinton had direct contact using her private server email account.
Mm-hmm.
The IG adds that Obama used a pseudonym for his username and that after intelligence analysts questioned whether Obama's communication contained classified information, it was determined that the emails sent and received from Obama to Clinton back and forth had nothing that was classified. Obama, though, this is where the lie comes in. Obama said in a 2015 interview to CBS News that he learned about the private server at the same time everybody else learned it through news reports.
Yeah.
Therefore, what do you have there? A lie.
Yes. And to look at all this and say there's no political motivation. Oh, there can't possibly be any political motivation. You add to it that Bill Clinton got on a plane with Loretta Lynch.
Don't offend Bill.
He's offended. Oh, I love offending Bill. Wow. He's offended by that. I'm offended. How dare you? I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Isn't it going to be fascinating to see Horowitz? Because these questions are going to come up. You obviously know that the lead investigator mm-hmm. for the Russian investigation of the FBI, mm-hmm. and as you said by your quotes, the person who supervised daily the Hillary Clinton investigation was completely biased mm-hmm. in his work opinions
right.
to work associates about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. This wasn't on, you know, his personal Facebook page or something right. said at a bar. This was work-related information.
If it was at a bar, he would have an undocumented campaign worker
right.
Yeah, that would,
which is
that,
yeah, exactly why I said that. Yeah, he would. There was no, you know, there was no foreign diplomat involved here. They weren't drinking, doing shots. What do you think they were drinking that night? I always wondered that. But the whole part of this that comes together, if you're not putting the pieces of this puzzle together in terms of political motivation at the FBI in 2016, then you're refusing to see it. You just frankly want to bury your head in the sand.
Right.
I'm talking about the people that are doing the analysis on this, trying to say there's no bias.
Right.
What he's saying is, I found no documentation that bias was put into effect. Because, I mean, I just read it to you. It's just the fact they couldn't find emails, they couldn't find anything in writing, which is what you would need, according to the IG.
Right.
Not necessarily for prosecution, as in fact Trey Gowdy pointed out. Well, you can put the pieces of the puzzle together and prove intent.
Right.
You know what you're doing when you're an investigator or a prosecutor.
Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. There's just so much going on. And I was reading David Harzani's comments in the Federalist.com. And this is something that you and I can relate to completely, because it's like, and we're getting more used to masses of information being thrown at us every single day.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Massive different storylines coming at you from every angle. Mm-hmm. But as he writes, there are so many storylines in the Justice Department's highly anticipated Inspector General's report that it's going to take a long time to sift through all of them. As I said, you know, I'll have to reread it again, the entire thing, not, you know, scan it as you try to today and then read a different analysis of it. But there's so many nuances to the report that I said it could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before you fully digest it of next week. And that's sort of the same way, the thing that he's saying. But he talks about a couple of the things. And it's funny because everybody's coming up with a different thing. The first thing I came up with was, oh, this shoots Mueller's narrative some type of obstruction of justice out the window, because the Inspector General just bashes Comey as being unprofessional, insubordinate, and the extraordinary measures that he took were just not justifiable at all, accused him of deceit, everything. And so, I mean, it was really bad. So that's the first thing that came to my mind. I said, that destroys that narrative right there. He talks about the fact that the whole, you know, the Strzok thing about we'll stop it. Said, according to the IG, Strzok claims he doesn't remember sending the text, but he also somehow remembers that the text was intended to reassure Page that Trump would not be elected, not to suggest that he would do something to impact the investigation, even though he didn't remember sending it. He said, now, texts don't necessarily prove an agent acted unprofessionally. Maybe Strzok was showing off to his lover.
Yeah.
Maybe Strzok was blowing off steam. Mm. But if a law enforcement agent charged with scrutinizing your business says he's going to stop you on top of dozens of other statements demonstrating high levels of prejudice, including one self-righteous exchange where he praises himself for being in the position to stop the Trump menace, would you consider that person professionally unbiased? There's no reasonable argument that can guarantee that this agent's work wasn't uncontaminated by his animosity for Trump. And remember, he supervised daily, according to the Horowitz, the Hillary Clinton investigation, and he was the lead investigator of Russian collusion for Trump, which, again, Horowitz doesn't take it from that point on,
right.
Which goes to where? Strzok, the lead investigator, all the way up to the FISA warrant and what was in the application.
Right.
That hasn't even been touched yet.
Because the IG could not do that. That wasn't something that was going to be part of the scope of the investigation.
said it should also be noted that despite the widespread assertion on social media that the IG, who was deeply troubled by text message exchanges between Strzok and Page, did not exonerate the duo's behavior in the Russia investigation, and Strzok played an important role in launching the FBI collusion efforts. That's the point we're just making. In fact, the IG has referred 5 FBI employees for further investigation. And then they write to your reaction to the Department of Justice. If this text had nothing to did nothing to undermine the integrity of the investigation, why didn't the Department of Justice turn it over to congressional investigators?
Right.
That's what Nunes is asking. That's the whole point when we have said the Department of Justice and Rosenstein constantly crying wolf. This is going to impact investigations. This will impact methods and sources and methods. This will put people's lives at risk, as we've heard all along. And every time they have claimed that, it's been BS.
Yeah.
Every single time they've claimed that, it hasn't been the case. So, as we have said, don't view this. Don't sit there and listen to the media that is using the Inspector General's report as the totality of everything that's going on, because it's not. It's another piece of the puzzle.
Right.
We got new information and more information and things like this, as we have talked about before. What do we know now that we didn't know a year ago? A ton.
Well, and you put together that the whole lack of documentation or documentary evidence on political bias being used or being in effect. If there were no Mueller investigation, if November of 2016 just happened and everything went away, or that it truly was just about Russia, and we found that out, and it wasn't about a spy being in the campaign, Mueller, time and time again, wanting to, the word, wanting to investigate or interview, rather, the president of the United States on something where there is no crime that's been identified. Think about the scope of all of this. Tell me, you're telling me, you want me to believe there's no political bias in this whole thing, yet here we've had, for over a year, a special investigator assigned to no crime based on what? What the FBI and its lead investigator, who by the documented evidence clearly had a political bias, has been in effect for at least, what, a couple, going on 2 years now, total.
Because if you look at it, everything that we're dealing with here, as you just said, I mean, everything that we're dealing with here, to repeat it again, everything we're dealing with here, the Mueller investigation, the FISA warrant, all that began with the lead investigator of Russian collusion, who was Peter Strzok.
Right.
Everything that we see today
we'll
is
stop
based
him.
On him.
We'll stop him. We'll stop him.
And the IG didn't go that far.
Right.
He didn't
because
go that far.
Because in that investigation, there's only so much information. It's like a CBO report. You're only going to get the information that you put out, or you're going to get out of that report what you put into it, what's available to you. The IG doesn't have, and it wasn't the purpose of the IG to go and investigate the Mueller team, to investigate anything that the Mueller team has done. That wasn't the point of this investigation.
I still, one of the things that I wonder, and we talked about this yesterday when you were gone, but we have talked about this in the past, is on April 12th, when it came out in Comey's book, that there was unverifiable, classified information that came from a source, which is the reason why Comey decided to do what he did, by himself. And the inspector general found out that Loretta Lynch had no idea what he was going to say that day. He had informed her that morning, but he informed her after he informed the press. She learned from the press, and then he told her, but she had no idea. She just knew he was going to make a statement. She had no idea, apparently, what the statement was, according to the inspector general's report. So Comey comes out in his book and says the reason that he did that was because of the unverified top secret information, classified information from a source that if the opposition found out and it was about Loretta Lynch, it would have helped destroy the credibility of the Justice Department and the FBI because it would have shown such partisanship from Loretta Lynch.
Right.
That's never been investigated as to, you know, whether that unverifiable information became verified because he was out of office for a long time. How would he know if it had become verified?
Right.
He was no longer FBI director. Did it become verified or was James Comey lying about that?
Right.
I'd love to find that out. We talked about that yesterday. I would love to find that out because that's why he claimed he did it.
Well, and look at the apparent CYA here going on by McCabe. Why am I being singled out? Comey pointing to Lynch. Each one of them is pointing upstream. So that's the question here. Why that kind of attitude since all of this has happened? You know, with McCabe, it seemed, and I think no one would argue this point. He was clearly angry about being singled out. When you say something like that, why am I being singled out? What you're saying is other people were involved, and it doesn't point downstream. You're not throwing your underlings under the bus. It's your boss, which is to imply that you were given directive that this would be the case, or that you were all in it together, or something of that effect. But people above you were part of it as well.
Yeah, because you're not throwing people. Normally, you don't throw people. Now, if Comey said that about Strzok, he would be throwing somebody downstream.
Right, and we can
about it. But when McCabe said it,
mm-hmm.
you don't come out and say that because somebody beneath you,
yeah.
who you have authority of, has done something wrong. It's because somebody equal but more likely above you,
yes.
is a part of the conspiracy, and that's why you're saying.
Yeah, with Comey saying, I wasn't aware of it, that's a different kind of CYA. When you're right. saying, why am I being singled out and you're clearly angry, that's an upstream CYA.
Yes, yes. Upstream CYA.
Yeah.
I like that. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We go to Rich in Texas. Rich, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I think everybody's missing the point. James Comey loved his job. He would do anything to keep it. But remember when Loretta Lynch told him to call this a matter of non-investigation? She also stated to the reporters that whatever the FBI comes up with, we're going to go along with it.
Mm.
But you guys are missing one person. Is Eric Holder. He's a mouthpiece for Obama. He's still with Obama. He set up shop in California and is starting a resistance. He's the one.
Yeah, but you're getting off topic. We're talking about the specifics.
He wasn't there at the time.
Yeah, we're talking about the specifics of this investigation only.
Yeah.
Investigation. We understand it, but we're talking about what ties in to the Hillary and Russia investigation specifically, and what we know from the inspector general and what we know from the actual evidence. Not political allies. We know the political allies are out there. That's not what we're discussing.
Because at that time, Holder had no power to abuse.
Right.
Not saying there was completely no abuse of power while he was AG, but he wasn't AG at the
time. We're not, again, one of the questions is on everything from the FISA warrant to the outing. The unmasking. We don't know what the White House knew at this point.
Right.
This is not a discussion on who is the political ally of who might have influenced what happened. This is a discussion on the evidence that exists from the Inspector General, from the House Intelligence Committee, the Judiciary Committees, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Judiciary Committees. This is what we're learning through the evidence, not the speculation of political allies and who might have influenced whom.
Right.
So we understand we're not missing anything.
No, it's because the broader picture of the culture under the Obama administration, we understand there are a lot of questions still there. But that's not part of this. I mean, it's not part of this directly related to the former AG, Eric Holder. He wasn't in power at that time. Yes, he fits into the broader picture, but not this investigation.
Right. So, not sure where you were going.
Yeah, thank you.
Hang on, we'll get to more of your calls and comments. Rick, Jimmy, Sandy, Michael, and more. And it's one of those shows where every single commercial break, I'm just doing more research. And, you know, as you're doing, breaking down different, you know, paragraphs in it. It takes a while. Remember, this is like reading a book. Yeah. It isn't, this isn't a comprehensive letter.
No, it is not. It is not.
This isn't a page statement. It's 568 pages and a lot of analysis on it and a lot of going through and, you know, relating and seeing how one section relates to another and, you know, breaking down where, okay, what did the Inspector General mean when he talked about no political bias? Did he mean no political bias in the investigator's mind? Did he say there was no political bias in the investigation? Or did he say specifically there was no documented evidence where this bias led to this? Because
right.
They would have to state that this bias led to that.
And who's
and
going
in all
to do that?
That's not going
it's
to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
Hey, okay, so now that we all hate Trump, these are the measures we're going to take specifically. Here's an outline of things we're going to do to keep him from becoming president. And if he does become president, here's a list of Plan B items that we will put into effect to remove him from office. It doesn't work that way.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. The IG report out yesterday, and it's just, you know, more and more and more and more and more and more. We could probably talk about this for 5 hours. Oh, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yes.
Some of the other things out of there. The watchdog identified five other unnamed individuals, including two agents and one FBI attorney, who worked on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe until early this year, who made statements of hostility towards then-candidate Trump and statements of support for candidate Clinton and improperly mixed political opinions with case-related discussions. They go through some of those messages, but those five agents and the attorney, they have referred the five FBI officials for further investigation. Mm. So that isn't over yet. The other one was President Obama was one of the 13 individuals with whom Hillary Clinton had direct contact using the email from her private server, and he had claimed previously he only knew about the private server, like the rest of us did in the newscast, you know, from the newscast. And, of course, we know that now, you know, from the Inspector General's report. We believed it anyway before the Inspector General's report. There was information out there, but it shows that the White House was not at that time telling the truth. And what was, there was one more. I can't think. There was another one.
Hmm.
I forgot what the other one was. The gift giving. And more investigation on that. There was improper gift giving from reporters to FBI agents. That is being further investigated. The inspector general said that should be further investigated by the proper authorities out there, right, and may have had something to do with the leaks.
Yeah, I mean, why would you be giving gifts to FBI agents if you're in the media? You either received something or you're trying to receive something, right? You want something. It is a, you believe it's a, you know, well, you scratched my back here. Let me get you a couple of tickets to, I don't know, the Buffalo Bills. That's only if you dislike the agents.
Get it!
By the way,
totally off the topic, Sports Illustrated came out with their predictions.
For? Football?
Football teams.
Why? Why do they ever do that? Let me guess.
Well, you know why I'm bringing it
they
up.
They believe,
right,
the Patriots will do well.
Oh, yeah, the Patriots, 13-3.
Yeah. Wow, that's a shocker of a... I could have made that prediction.
I remember the Bills made the playoffs last year, so what do you think they say for the Bills this year?
10-6.
2-14.
Wow. Wow.
All right, okay. Just before we get to your calls, one golf comment, right, because of the U.S. Open?
Yeah, you have to, because all my buddies that I grew up with were also commenting today.
My God.
And so I wasn't following. I didn't. In fact, I didn't see any.
Well, that's what upset me was the whole IG report messed up my viewing.
Your golf viewing
the golf. But then again, when you see Tiger Woods triple bogey on the first hole,
you know it's over.
You're gonna have a lot of players complaining about this because I mean this may be this could end up being probably one of the hardest golf rounds of all time, especially if the winds it was supposed to be dry because it rained the other day on Long Island where Shinnecock Hills is, but it's supposed to be sunny and dry and windy. And these players are just, as I said, I might not break 300. And someone said, oh, come on. And I said, in fact, you could take the first drive. Someone said, well, you know, you might shoot better than 300. I said, you could give me a 320-yard drive in the middle of the fairway. I still might not break 300. I was telling you that I was showing Eric in the studio. I said, you could take this studio here, which we don't have a real big studio.
Right.
In fact, when they built the studio for us, we had to rearrange it. So it's like, no, I can't sit there. I'm not going to sit 6 inches from Eric.
The door still says broom closet.
Yeah. Well, you ever see the Seinfeld episode? Remember Elaine had the apartment?
Yeah.
And the apartment was basically the, you know, where the janitor had all the... That's basically our studio.
Yeah.
Well, you could... Well, it's a little larger. But you could take a quarter of our studio, which, you know, our studio's probably... What's this room? I don't know. Maybe 10 by 15? Maybe?
I'd say 4 by 2.
Well, you can take... You can hit 2 feet past the hole. It'll roll off the green.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to hit. Some of the landing areas are so incredibly precise that, you know, it's not. You don't sit there and you're not. For any of the players, you're not going, what a great round. Birdie after birdie after birdie. What you see are players struggling, which is a good thing. I don't know how good it is for the person watching it, though.
Yeah, that's a good point because
I was
going to say it might make the amateur golfer feel a lot better about themselves,
yeah.
Especially if they never played that course and never planned to. Yeah,
well, they did the story of, and this is why I really wanted to bring it up because it's really a great story. The story of Jimmy Dunn,
right,
who is a member and you know started playing Shinnecock Hills a long time ago. They did this little 10-minute vignette on him. He's probably, I think, 58, 59 years old, something like that. But he and his partners ran a company in the World Trade Center.
Oh, wow.
9/11.
Wow.
And he's a good golfer. He's an amateur golfer, good golfer. And on 9/11, well, he was supposed to play in a tournament 9/10 to try to qualify for an amateur tournament. And his partner in the business in the World Trade Center, he's supposed to go September 10th. He goes, no. He goes, go to this other golf course September 11th. It's a you know, you can break par in that. It would be easier for you to qualify. He said, okay, I'll go on September 11th. So he lived because of it, but he was on the fourth hole when he was told the USGA official, United States golf official, came out and said, you need to call this particular person here. And they said on 9/11 he was one of the few driving in, not driving out. Well, yeah. That partner and others died. And he talked about the fact that, they put together. They said, we've got to take care of everybody. And they did. And they put together a scholarship and a foundation for all the kids that needed a, you know, from anybody who had died in the company. And I think it was like 74 different kids all got scholarships. Three of the people that he worked with who died, who were very close to him, their sons and daughters now work for him.
Wow.
And so it was bet like in 2010 where he, I think Tider had the best round ever as an amateur golfer, 63 at Shinnecock Hills, and he had a hole in one. And he used his ball from the ball that he dedicates and marks with his friend, his former partner who died, marks it. And he had the hole in one and broke the course record with the 63. You have a 63 at Shinnecock Hills, and you're I'm not blasphemous. You're God. blasphemy because it's that hard of golf.
Yeah. Well, you either that or you're one heck of a trick golfer. You're one of those guys that does the demos.
But it was so great, and he just said, my life has been fantastic. Every dream I've ever had, I've had. Mm-hmm. And they talked to him about, well, you set up these funds, and they paid everybody and benefits and everything else all the way through it. And could we afford it? He goes, not really. We had no choice because nobody else was there to take care of them. I was the only – it was my responsibility, and he lived through it. It's emotional 10-minute piece. They've played it probably five or six times.
And you know, if any of those kids or those 74 employees were, or those 74 kids or those employees were in middle school or older, that means they're at least in their 30s now.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, three of them were, and they were talking to the three of them that now work for him.
Wow.
So they're working at a place where their parents died.
Yeah.
You know, the company.
Right.
They're working for the company.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and a man, their father, you know, they're working for a man who's their parents worked for.
Yeah.
It was just such a hard, I got me to tear up.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it was extremely emotional. So that's really why I wanted to bring up golf, because I wanted to make sure if you're watching the U.S. Open, hopefully, or you can look it up, Jimmy Dunn, it's everywhere. You can find it on the Golf Channel, because they put together this 10-minute little mini documentary on it.
Right.
Somebody had told me about it, and so I made sure that I watched it online first, and then it came on the broadcast the other day. So,
well,
the only bad part about it is the Joe Buck's doing the play by play
of the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
why is he doing it?
I don't know.
Does he do much golf?
Not really.
Yeah.
I don't mind Joe Buck as many other people. They mind him a lot more than I do, but it's like. The worst was, and I love Chris Berman, love him, but when he did golf, he's got a 5-foot.
I had no idea Berman ever did golf.
Yeah, he would do the U.S. Open once in a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do they just bring somebody in, some notable comment?
Well, Fox doesn't do a lot of golf to begin with.
Right.
And it's on Fox. Fox is doing the U.S. Open, so you're getting people that don't normally do golf.
Right, okay.
It's not Jim Nance.
Right.
You know, it's not CBS or NBC that does a lot of the actual golf, and so you're getting the different. So it's like, Fox does it. Okay, all right, throw Joe Buck in there.
Interesting.
And when ESPN, I forgot what ESPN used to cover, but when ESPN used to cover it, maybe it was the U.S. Open a few years, and Chris Berman used to do it. It was like, all right, here it is. All right.
Yeah, not really what you want.
You,
You need this voice. Hi, I'm Jim Nantz.
When it was in Chicago, Harry Carey would do it. Oh, my goodness. That was way off. I can't believe that man is still standing. He should quit now.
Well, the best thing is, if you don't watch much golf, you can watch the U.S. Open and say, these guys stink. Nobody gets it near the hole.
you feel better about yourself. Okay. There's a reason to watch.
All right. Your calls and comments coming up here, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Quick question.
What?
Because FBI Director Christopher Wray said they're going to do like Starbucks and have, Starbucks had unconscious bias training.
Yeah, this would be very deliberately biased.
Yes, this would be very deliberately conscious bias training. My question would be, Human Resources Department usually arranges all of this.
Who works in Human Resources now?
Peter Strzok.
Oh.
So we're just wondering, how involved will Peter Strzok, because he works in Human Resources for the FBI, how much will he contribute to this conscious bias training?
He's clearly a leader. He's been lead investigator on the FBI investigations, and you would think that would be your go-to guy.
You know, the best part about this was where you and I didn't tell you what I was going to say when I came on the air. And as soon as I said Human Resources, you knew exactly where I was going.
We're going to immediately have our Human Resources Department look into some training. Sure you are.
I think before you have the training, you need to fire a person in your Human Resources department first.
Yes. Yes, we'll start with one Peter Strzok.
That's my question. With the taxpayer dollars, what is Peter Strzok actually doing in Human Resources?
Right. What is his work product now?
Is he hiring? Are you using? Look,
He would be in charge of screening people.
Is he in charge of screening people? Is he in charge of bias training? Just what is his job in Human Resources in the FBI?
Is he reviewing any of the agents' private and personal social media pages? And if so, and they happen to hashtag MAGA, what, if any, actions does a Peter Strzok take? I'm just asking questions.
We had to ask that.
Yeah, we're just asking questions. That's all we do.
Let's go to Sean in St. Louis. Sean, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi, Sean.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Well, since you're talking about Human Resources, doesn't Human Resources cover, like, insurance policies?
Mm.
Oh, I know where you're going on this. Go ahead.
Well, wasn't it him that had the email, the text, or whatever that said, I have an insurance policy,
yes.
I use it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you intentionally buy insurance to cover your bottom line.
Well, you know? Sean, now you've explained why they put him in HR, because he clearly knows about insurance policies. He's going to be in charge of benefits.
That shows intent.
Yes.
Yes. That's bias.
Yes.
You're going to cover your bottom line. You're going to cover a tragedy.
Right.
Something that, you know, that you're not, that you don't want.
Well, and let's look at the result. What is the result? We've had an ongoing investigation and a special prosecutor for over a year now on what criminal event? There isn't one. There's not one criminal event that has been identified in relation to anyone in the Trump campaign and the election itself. Not one, and we're still here. So if you can't bridge those two together, I don't know what to tell you. And I do know that the point of the IG report, it's almost a technical report if you look at it. You're going to get out of it what you put in, and so much information that the IG has available to them. It's up to the rest, and this is why we're quick to point out, this is only part of the puzzle.
Yes.
It's only one piece.
Right.
It's not the puzzle. But when you put the puzzle together, put all the pieces on the table and tell me it doesn't fit, that's bogus. If you're telling me there is no political bias in this entire equation, and we're still here with a Robert Mueller assigned to no criminal event that's been identified in relation to anyone in the Trump campaign or the election itself. Tell me how we got here then, if not through bias.
Yeah, the government should know that your job is not to make anybody in the media or Christopher Wray or his job easier. Your job is to let the American people know that this type of bias will not continue anymore. Take the technicalities out of it.
Right.
It's a politically, the FBI, the head of the management of the FBI has become politically tainted.
Yes.
We all know it.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
The problem stems from that. Why? Because the American people will lose confidence in federal law enforcement when they hear the stories that we've been hearing for the last year. It stinks. And Democrats even know. They know that if Democrats will do this inside the law and federal law enforcement, then why won't Republicans if it's allowed and the precedent has been set?
For VDO Roadlog, here is your forecast.
After some heavy rain moved through North Dakota along I-94, we'll continue to see those showers move eastward throughout the day today, mainly around Duluth on I-35 and over to Marquette throughout the day on I-28. We do have some relief in sight for the south, where widespread excessive heat and fire weather conditions have been persisting across the desert southwest. Now, that system known as Bud will be moving on shore, and we talk about relief, but it could come as a little too much, as the potential for flash flooding exists. Tomorrow, the center of the storm will be near the southern Baja Peninsula of Mexico's Baja Sur near La Paz. Most of the nation's coastal areas will be dry today, with the exception of the New Orleans area and the coastal Carolinas. Overall, the best of the weekend beach days will be Saturday. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Scare people. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. We go to Rick in Sacramento. Rick, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show as we talk about the IG report yesterday on the Hillary investigation and more. Hi, Rick.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I've been listening to all the talk shows about this earlier today, and when I was listening to you guys tonight, it finally hit me that it seems like this, like the IG report's almost taken a chapter out of what Comey did. I mean, Comey basically laid out all of what Hillary did, and it basically said, well, we couldn't find any intent.
right. And yeah, and here they found the intent. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Now the IG report, basically spells out all this stuff. We even found out some stuff we didn't even know, that Comey was actually doing what Hillary was being investigated for, using a private email. And then we found out about this thing that was omitted from the text messages that the Strzok and Page did.
Mm-hmm.
We found out about that today. So we found out some new stuff, and just obvious bias. Anybody could see this, but the report concludes, there's no evidence of any bias.
Well, remember, that's not what the report said, though, and that's why we've got to be careful with it. That's how it's being reported, and that's why we broke it down. Eric Kimberly Strassel, who is one of the people out there, if you look at the people that really have been covering all the stuff that's been going on in Washington, from the Hillary campaign, to the email investigation, the Russian collusion, Peter Strzok, everything else. You have to look at Kimberly Strassel, Andrew McCabe. I mean, they have focused a tremendous amount of energy on it. And she said, look, if you actually look at what he said, it was a technical statement. That what he said was not that the political bias didn't exist in the FBI, but they couldn't find documentary evidence where that bias was involved in making a investigative decision. And what he was saying was, if you look at that technically, is, and I understand, because I look and I go, yeah, that's sort of a BS, evasive statement to begin with. But technically, when you say that he was stating, as Eric said before, that, okay, we made a decision to do this. If one of the FBI agents came out and said, I'm making a decision not to go forward with this because I support Hillary Clinton and that's my reason, that's a kind of documentary evidence that you would need. You have tons of circumstantial evidence. He didn't state there is no circumstantial evidence of political bias. He said there's no documentary evidence of political bias being used to make the decisions. There's tons of circumstantial evidence.
And that's the difference, Rick, between like a prosecutorial approach. So for a prosecutor or an investigator let's say the FBI or a police investigator, you would look for that circumstantial evidence and then try and find, again, the stronger evidence as well. But an internal investigation is going to be very technical, a different approach, because you're only going to get out of it what you have available to you, what is the information that is put in. So they can't go out and broaden the scope of the investigation like a, let's say, special prosecutor can, based on this broad scope given to them by, I'm just out of thin air, the Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein. It is something that is very contained and very, I guess, outlined and compartmentalized. So when you look at that, it's almost like the Congressional Budget Office. You're going to get a scoring on something based on the numbers you have at the time. There are many things that we don't know that may go into something like that. And for this report, it doesn't go beyond the 2016 period. So we've learned a lot since then, and that's something that the IG did not have available to him, nor was it part of the scope of this investigation. So I think it's very important to point that out, which is one more reason why this is just one part of the puzzle. It's not the entire puzzle. It's one piece.
And look, I'm not saying that the inspector general shouldn't be questioned on it, and I expect these questions, as we said earlier, I expect these questions next week. You know, you talk about the fact that there was no documentary evidence. But isn't there a ton of circumstantial evidence of political bias all across the FBI by your statement here? And let's see how he responds to that, because I bet you he says yes. Mm-hmm. What he is stating is nobody said, and Comey didn't say, I'm not prosecuting Hillary because I prefer her over Donald Trump.
Yes.
That would be documentary evidence of political bias involved in making a decision. Well, nobody's going to do that.
No one is going to do that. It's not going to happen that way. And yes, it does reek of what happened with like Trey Gowdy and his questioning of Comey and or how the Comey investigation, no reasonable prosecutor would pursue this, even though we have actual evidence of a crime. But that's, again, a very different type of investigation, an internal investigation, an internal watchdog. Their purpose is different. And their information, what they have available to them, is different. They can only question the current employees. They can only look at the evidence that belongs. They can look at what belongs to the FBI. That's all they can look at.
Right.
So if you have a prosecutor can go, in many different directions, and with warrants and everything else, assuming that they're valid warrants, man, and they can go and they can search for evidence, if it leads them there. Well, the IG couldn't do that even if Horowitz wanted to. He can't go outside the FBI. He can't go outside the agency.
You know, I just thought of something here with consistency of thought for James Comey. James Comey, who said basically no reasonable prosecutor would ever go after Hillary.
Right.
And we examined that statement back then when he said it and went, well, wait a minute. We know what the crime was.
Right.
We know specifically what it was. Nobody is debating that the crime didn't exist. Nobody is stating that her behavior wasn't to put a private server into her home.
Right.
He just said you wouldn't prosecute her, but didn't explain why,
mm-hmm.
except for the fact that, well, we couldn't find any cases where this was prosecuted before. Well, yeah, you can find tons of cases, but you can't find one where a Secretary of State did this because it doesn't exist.
It's not there. Yeah,
so,
right.
But that there was no reasonable cause, you know, no reasonable prosecutor would go after it. Yet, he is the one that leaked to the professor information in order to get a special counsel to investigate Donald Trump for Russian collusion when he himself knew that Donald Trump, because he told Trump three times, was not under investigation for any wrongdoing or collusion with the Russians. But that was worthwhile of an investigation which has lasted for a year, and there was never even any identifiable crime. Let's break that down for investigative consistency.
Right. Yeah, let's...
break that one down.
Right. And again, we talk about the methodical or lack of methodical thinking by a James Comey. It first appeared to us, not necessarily even July 5th of 2016, somewhat, but more so when he testified.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't really put our fingers on it. It was like, man, this guy just doesn't sound like he's qualified. The things that he's saying don't add up. They don't make sense.
He didn't seem to think like an investigator would think.
Or even a prosecutor or anyone
in connecting
in
the
field.
Dots. Right. In connecting the dots.
And,
yes.
And so because that's that methodical approach we talk about. You basically have to follow that process. There is a process. I was watching a documentary on something, an investigation on a murder that happened years ago. And everyone involved at the state, federal, and local levels, each one of them that commented, and they did throughout this documentary, they were talking in those very methodical and law enforcement technical terms. That's what you want to hear. You want to hear that approach. You want to hear why or what they were doing and how they walked through that process. With Comey, it's just bizarre. It's as if, I don't know, it's as if they just, they plucked someone that they thought would be a good image for the agency and put him in as FBI director. I don't know how he got there. I can't tell you that. Because everything from his testimony to this point, his book, his interviews surrounding the book, and everything else.
Bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's almost like it reminds me of the Obama years. The things that he was doing, Obama talked, and everyone, oh, no, see, he's always the smartest man in the room. I think Jim Comey thinks he's the smartest man in the room at all times. It's that arrogance. And then some of the language. Not only do the facts not add up in this entire equation, but his language doesn't makes me feel like he's covering his own backside here, that he's now in that CYA mode. We had asked the question about his book. Why now? Why would you let this? Because the interviews are just going to be, you know, over and over again. People are going to be questioning everything, and the IG report is yet to come out. So why would you not put that on the back burner? Why would you not shelve that and say, you know what, if you're in CYA mode? Well, the reason you wouldn't is because you've got an ego, because You believe you're the smartest guy in the room. And incompetence, by the way, isn't against the law. But it should be against everything that that agency stands for. It's against, and it works wholly,
well,
against a nation of laws.
It should be a fireable offense.
I think it is. I think it is.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We go to Carl in Indiana. Carl, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, guys. First, in passing, you guys have said on several occasions that the Mueller investigation isn't based on any crime. That's not quite accurate. They indicted 13. I think it was 13 Russians.
No. We did not say that. There is no identifiable crime that the Trump or Trump campaign colluded with the Russians to hack or change the outcome of the election, which is Mueller's directive.
Mueller's directive
that's why,
to look into into Russian involvement in the campaign. If that was the limit of
there,
Mueller's directive,
and any surrounding crimes that go with it, but it only started. The only reason that Mueller is in there is because of the Trump campaign colluding with the Russians to hack the election. How do you think they got the FISA warrant?
I disagree, because those...
Well, it doesn't matter whether you disagree. Doesn't matter. Well, no, you can... Manafort... Excuse me. Carl, Manafort's been indicted. It's got nothing to do with Trump and Russia collusion.
Nothing.
The Russians had nothing to do with Trump or the Trump campaign.
Michael Flynn. That had to do with talking to investigators.
Right. Look, you can have your own opinion. You can't have your own facts.
Right. And the Russia investigation could have been done without a special prosecutor. Why do you have a special prosecutor?
Right. We've said a special prosecutor when done, because the special prosecutor was not put in to go after whether Russians were involved with Facebook.
No. We have, the FBI can do that on their own without a special prosecutor.
Carl, nice try moving the goalposts. Doesn't work here.
There is no crime that's been identified by anyone inside the Trump campaign related to the election.
And that's what we have said. Don't put words in our mouth either.
Been very clear about that.
Yes. So,
That is the case, then this would be the most incompetent, second most incompetent investigation to date. The other one is the investigation that led to this, because over a year now and still no one from the campaign has been indicted on anything in relation to the actual election.
Right.
No one. Michael Flynn was talking to a foreign representative on December 29th. After the election. And by the way, his sentencing hearing has been delayed twice.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.